branding, experience, conversation, promotion. Powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power, power to the power. Small business.
And thank you, Mary Lynn. That, by the way, the voice of the open and close of Power to the Small Business is Mary Lynn Foster. She's one of the co-hosts of the Big Success podcast, which you can find at BIGGSuccess.com. Thanks, Mary Lynn. And welcome to Power to the Small Business, the Internet show all about small business marketing. My name is Jay Arrett. Vitals here. My website is themarketingspot.com. My blog is themarketingspotblog.com. This podcast website is powertothesmallbusiness.com. And my Facebook action is picking up. Hit 500 fans, likers, whatever Facebook is calling them right now. Anyway, go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/themarketingspot. And in celebration of 500 likers, I'll be having a special promotion in October. Now I just got to figure out what it is, huh? This is episode number 65 of The Big Show, and today we focus on the customer experience. And you know, if you listen to this program, I think the customer experience is very important in your marketing plan. I've put it in my four-spot marketing model. It's one of the four essential spots of marketing, as I consider them. And the customer experience is the number one factor of customer loyalty. It's been proven in research, survey after survey. It's not your service. It's not your product. The number one factor of customer loyalty is the experience that the customer has. Now, that loses emphasis in this era of the internet where people think social media will save their business. Let me tell you something. You could ignore social media, put 100% of your effort in the customer experience, and have a wildly successful business. If you want proof, see Apple. So that brings us to our guest today, Shep Hyken. Shep Hyken is a speaker and best-selling business author of The Cult of the Customer. He works with companies who want to build loyal relationships with their customers and employees. He is also author of Moments of Magic and The Loyal Customer. He likes to blend information with entertainment. Let's talk to Shep. And now we go to the Skype line, where with us is Shep Hyken, customer service speaker, expert, and best-selling author. Shep, we welcome you to Power to the Small Business.
Well, I am excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I saw your book online, The Cult of the Customer. We love talking about the customer experience here on the show, so I thought I got to get Shep Hyken on, and here you are. So I appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks. Well, that's what I do. I live it. I breathe it. I love it.
Well, let's get into it. I know in your book, and I've briefly read through it, The Cult of the Customer, you talk about creating loyal customers, and that's what your book is mainly about. The role of the customer experience in creating loyal customers. How do you think that works? What is the role of the experience in loyalty?
Okay, so we're not going to confuse customer service with customer experience.
Okay.
Because they tie together, but they're different. So let's talk about what the experience needs to be to create loyalty. And it simply is an experience that creates confidence. Because without confidence, you can't have loyalty. You can deliver great service, but the client, customer, whatever you want to call them, has to feel it's going to happen every time. So it needs to be predictable. It needs to be every time. And once that happens, confidence sets in. And if you can take great service and you add to that confidence, you can potentially come up with loyalty.
And so in your experience, how do you get that confidence? How do you make customers confident in the experience?
Well, you give them a great service experience, and that is where customer service comes in, because customer service does not automatically translate to a great experience. You can have good customer service or bad customer service. So ultimately, what you want to do is you want to manage that particular interaction that you're having. I don't like to use the word transaction, but we have to take what's in front of us each time, every time. So, my formula, people think of loyalty, if you will, is something that's long-term and a lifetime. And it's really, you can break it down into something much simpler than that. You're going to deliver a great service experience, but the goal is, what am I doing right now to make sure that customer is going to want to come back the next time? And you focus on that thought every time. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, Shep. And I've said before that loyalty is an emotion. And if you want to get that loyalty from customers, you have to engage them emotionally. And is that kind of what you're talking about? You want confidence. I mean, the confidence can be in a variety of different things, can it?
Sure. Absolutely. And then let's take it, because what you said is exactly spot on. It is an emotion. And let's talk about the difference between a satisfied customer and a loyal customer. When I go to do my speaking presentations, I will many times open the speech by asking the audience to raise their hands if they believe the statement that I'm about to say is true, and that is, it's important to satisfy your customers. And everybody's hand goes up. And I say, well, great. I'm glad you agree with me. And yeah, you want them satisfied, but really that's not enough anymore. Satisfactory is a rating. It's on a scale of 1 to 5. Am I poor to great? You know, and hopefully they're going to give us great. But at the end, loyalty is an emotional bond, if you will. Loyalty says, I'm going to do business with them, and I really want to. You can take it to another level, and I talk about this in The Cult of the Customer. There's loyalty where the customer keeps coming back, and there's evangelism, okay? And that's where they evangelize your business, which basically says, not only am I loyal, but I'm going to tell everybody I can about you. I become your referral source.
It's pretty easy, I think, to satisfy a customer, but then you talk about taking it to the next level, loyalty and evangelism. That's where I think customers get pretty picky, don't they?
Sure they do. And back to that whole satisfying thing, let's talk about that. Let's say you're walking into a restaurant and I'm walking out, okay? And I say, hey, how you doing? You say, Shep, how's the food? I go, Jay, you know what? It was okay. Now, okay means satisfactory.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it was great. Doesn't mean it was bad, but it means it was just okay. And are you going to be excited to spend your hard-earned money in this restaurant?
Yeah, you might have been okay with that meal, and it was good. You're not going to talk bad about them.
Right.
But will you come back? Will you talk positively about them? Maybe not.
And will you go in there thinking, boy, I can't wait to spend my hard-earned money in this place. He just told me it was okay.
In The Cult of the Customer, you introduce a concept you call the cult of amazement.
Yep.
Is that what plays into getting this loyalty and this evangelism?
Sure, and I can spend a lot of time talking about this, but the cult of amazement is really the fifth and final cult, if you will. A number of years ago, I identified 5 phases that customers go through. And by the way, employees internally go through the exact same phases.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you get into the cult or phase of amazement, and I'll just very quickly in like 2 minutes go through them for you. The first is what I call the cult of uncertainty, because it's the first time a customer does business with you. They're not 100% sure what they're going to get. They've heard, they hope, and then they get into alignment with you, which is the second phase or cult. This is where they understand after coming in what you deliver, what you promise, and they start to experience it, which is the third phase, where they start to experience what you promise. Once it's experienced more than once, it becomes predictable, meaning it becomes owned by the customer. And if that predictable, owned experience is better than average, and that's what amazement is, you are in the cult of amazement. Now let's go to that amazement level. Better than average. People think amazement has to be, you know, blow me away. Wow, fantastic. And that will happen some of the time. There are companies that are legendary for delivering great service like this. But the great companies, and these great ones, that, you know, the ones that are legendary also are included, really are nothing more than better than average all of the time. And they still will have mistakes because, you know, being perfect is a goal. It's not reality. But the best companies, the ones that are operating in the cult of amazement, are best equipped to deal with the problems because their customers know that when there's a problem, they have, again, we'll use that word confidence, they'll have the confidence in that company to turn it around and make it right. They don't have to worry about slipping back into uncertainty.
You know, Shep, I'm sure you talk to business owners, I do, and a lot of them, they think that the key to getting this loyalty or keep customers coming back is to provide a quality product, good service. But I don't think that's what amazes people, like you talk about, the cult of amazement. And I think that's where your focus on the experience rather than just service comes in. Because you have to do something besides offer a quality product or good service to get that amazement from your customers.
Here's the thing. Most companies, and what you just said, could be the cult of amazement. It could be because most companies can't consistently do what you just said, which is deliver a good product with good service. they're inconsistent. You know, maybe 3 out of 4 times. I mean, let's think about it. How often do you fly on an airplane?
Yeah, well, I fly probably once a month.
Okay, once a month. And how often is that a great experience?
Almost never.
Okay, and that's a shame. Now, if you fly on Southwest Airlines, and I love Southwest, but I'm also going to say something difficult here about Southwest, and it's not Southwest's fault. They are a great airline. They run it well. They have great people. And if all you're looking for is that customer experience, then you're probably going to get a pretty good experience every time you fly on Southwest. I think from the service side, they operate in amazement. However, from the product side, which is a plane that's supposed to take off and land on time, they're 81% efficient there. They're 81% on time, which, by the way, is better than every other airline. They're the number one on-time airline, and everybody else is averaging around 76%. They're averaging at 81%. You know, I call that being the best dog in a horse race. For the most part, you know, if I'm a doctor and I'm only successful with my patients 81% of the time, I don't think that's going to deem me number one doctor like it has number one airline. You know, and again, I love Southwest. I love everything they stand for. And many times it's not their fault. So let's cut the airlines a break. You know, there's bad weather.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's sometimes it is their fault and they just do some really ridiculous things. And at the end of the day, you know, it unfortunately gives the entire industry a black eye. But I look at this whole concept of great companies. If they're going to deliver a great product and a great service consistently and you can count on it, and again, if they fail, they fix it and they do it in such a way that regains your confidence, they're operating in amazement. The experience has to be better than average, and that's the key. Consistently better than average.
And I think, Shep, it's easy, or I shouldn't say easy, but I think this is where local small businesses have the advantage on larger companies, because local businesses, it's hard to compete on price. It's hard to even sometimes compete on service with larger companies. But that experience in creating something that goes beyond just, hey, I'm going to serve you on time or I'm going to give you a good quality product. No, I'm going to engage you emotionally in some way and amaze you in some way. I think that's easier to do that on a local level than on a national level.
Right. Well, in a small business, what they have, what they, the customer has, is access. Access to the owner, access to the top employees. Because it's small, it's local. Again, nationally, it's a little bit more difficult to have that access. I think access is a pretty cool thing.
Well, let's talk about how we get this amazing experience. And you mentioned employees earlier. What is the role of the employees in creating this cult of amazement?
Well, it's everybody's role, regardless of whether they're on the front line dealing directly with the customer or not. Because if they're not dealing with the customer, they're supporting somebody that is. So I talk about this concept about within amazement called the moment of magic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I love these words, amazing, magic, okay? And that moment of magic is that moment that is, again, above average. It doesn't have to be wow and blow me away. It just has to, again, be above average. And it comes from a concept years ago that I read a book called Moments of Truth by Jan Carlson. Are you familiar with that book at all?
Have not heard of it.
Okay. If you aren't familiar with it, and many of our readers or listeners won't be, you can go to any bookstore. If it's not there, you're going to find many books that refer to it. Jan Carlson was a gentleman that was asked to run Scandinavian Airlines and take it over when it was losing millions of dollars, and he turned it around with the idea of managing what he called the moment of truth in business, and that was, in his almost word-for-word definition of this is, anytime a customer, in his case it was a passenger, comes into contact with any aspect of the business, in his case the airline, they have an opportunity to form an impression. So anytime someone comes into contact with any aspect of your business, however remote, they have the opportunity to form an impression. And Jan Carlson said it will be either good or bad. And I came up with words. For the good ones, I call them moments of magic. And for the bad ones, I call them moments of misery. And then I started thinking, that, you know, and we were talking about this whole concept earlier in the conversation about satisfying customers. Well, to me, that's average. So that would be a moment of mediocrity, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And the goal is create those moments of magic, create those positive moments of truth. Now, with the simplistic concept of just simply managing interaction, you know, what's going on right in front of me, he got the message out to every one of the employees of Scandinavian Airlines, and he said, hey, if you're not doing it with the passenger, you're supporting somebody that is, so manage that interaction internally. And that airline became the number one airline in the entire industry at the time. I mean, he went from worst to first, you know, so to speak. And he did it with this little simple concept. So the moment of magic is all about managing those interactions for a positive experience. And again, above average experience.
While you were talking, I did Google it, or I looked it up on Amazon. Moments of Truth by Jan Carlson, written in 1989. So sometimes these older books, they've got some gold nuggets in them.
Yeah, and actually I think it's even earlier than that. My copy has an earlier copyright, but I actually got before it came out. But I read this thing, and I go, my God, this is it. The guy nailed it perfectly.
Well, another point about these moments of magic, Shep, and you talked earlier about evangelism, and we can get into that here too. It's my contention that if you want people to evangelize your business, that you have to give them something to talk about. And so what I like about your moments of magic is it's a little memory that then they can retell to their friends, to their coworkers, to their family, because people need stories to tell to other people in order to evangelize. You don't evangelize a business by just saying, yeah, it was good, I liked it, they had excellent service. No, you usually tell like specific instances, those moments
right.
of magic that you talk about.
And it's specific instances, it's specific people. You need to make sure you ask for so-and-so when you call them up, or when you go into, you know, you ask for somebody. Why? Oh, let me tell you what they did. And that's the story. And you're right, the story is what is the memory. Think about Nordstrom's, who in my mind has done the most unbelievable job of creating folklore with the stories that they have. You know,
yeah.
And one of the greatest stories is the one where the guy came back with four tires that had obviously been worn and he wanted to return them. Are you familiar with that story?
I've heard it before, yes.
Yeah, and Nordstrom's took it back, which is kind of crazy, but there is a backstory to the story. I actually, in the book Moments of Magic, talk about how that might not be the most reasonable approach to take from the standpoint of the bottom line and profitability and the unreasonable requests that some customers have. You know, the customer is not always right, but they are always the customer, and you have to figure out a way to let them be wrong with dignity. Well, the backstory of this tire story is that when the customer brought the tires back, he was bringing it back to the location where he had bought the tires. However, when he had bought them, it was not Nordstrom's. It was the store before Nordstrom's was there. But somehow somebody decided, I don't know, and it became a legend, you know. And,
yeah, and, here we are talking about it.
Right, and years later. And, you know, Zappos is another great company that's more, you know, contemporary today, online, known for shoes and selling many other things. And Tony Hsieh, the CEO of the company, said, hey, let's surprise people. When they order, shoes, let's not send them regular delivery, even though that's what they ask for. Let's overnight them and surprise them. And, you know, you order your shoes at, 8 o'clock in the evening, and the next day your shoes show up, and you go, wait a minute. And in the note it says, or in the box it said, there's a note that said, we decided we wanted to surprise you today. And wow, that's what they do. Now that's a moment of magic.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about that.
You will. Now, let's get back to the employees then. How do you recommend we get our employees involved in this cult of amazement? Because ultimately, they're the ones who deliver the experience. The owner of the company can't deliver the total experience. The employees have to do it. How do you get them on board?
Hire me? No, I'm just kidding. how much time do we have?
Just a brief while. We don't have too much time.
Okay, I know. There's a phrase that's being bantered around quite a bit. It's called employee engagement. You have to get them engaged. So that's okay. So how do I do that is the question.
Yeah.
Well, you need to make them aware of why it's important. And you, first of all, have to give them the training that they need, soft skill training, customer service training, if you will. Very important. So give them some basic training. But for what I refer to as the money exercise that you can do is to simply have them take out a piece of paper and tell them to take 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and just write down an example of when they created a great service experience for either their regular customer or an internal customer if they deal primarily internally. Just, put it on paper so it can be, you know, discussed. And that's the first part. As you have them go through that exercise, then ask them to do that on a regular basis, either once every 1 to 2 weeks, and turn it in. Because here's what's happening. You've got to create awareness. And once you create awareness and you see the examples that are coming in, and a manager or owner of a business is reading these, they can then go to that employee and say, you're awesome. You get it. You figured it out. Or, hey, I like what you're trying to do here, but let me tell you what I think needs to be done, and let's make this a learning lesson and make it part of the experience of working there.
Yeah, great advice, because so often we ask employees to deliver an experience that they themselves have never, ever received in their lives, and we wonder why they're not doing it.
Right.
You just got to get it in their minds on how to do that. So.
And by the way, you bring up, it makes me think of the idea that as an owner or leader, manager, whatever, you need to model that behavior. You cannot be different than what you ask the people to do.
We're talking with Shep Hyken. He is a speaker, best-selling author, consultant on the customer experience. He's written a book called The Cult of the Customer, Create an Amazing Customer Experience that Turns Satisfied Customers into Customer Evangelists. I needed a breath there for that subtitle, Shep. Let's wrap up the discussion here about the feasibility, the likelihood that any business or a local business can create this cult of amazement. How likely is it that any small business can create this cult of amazement and start building this customer loyalty?
Well, it's very likely, and there's a couple of keys that will make it easier or make it difficult. The first is, do you have the right people in place to make it happen? And in other words, do they know what they have to do? Have they been trained properly? Do you have the right personality? To the detriment is you've hired the wrong people that will never get it. And I'll jump back to Nordstrom's. One of the Nordstrom executives said, when asked, how do you train your people to do such a great job at a Nordstrom's department store? The comment was, we don't train them. Their parents train them. Okay, what they already know and make it work. And that's the key. If you've hired the wrong person, if you've hired this curmudgeonous, you know, nasty person who hates life, and you put them in front of a customer, do not expect them to deliver a great customer experience. Expect them to project that negative attitude onto everybody else around them, okay? And that's an exaggeration, but that's what happens.
A lot. I mean, it happens all the time, so I don't think that's such an exaggeration. I mean, we see it all the time, and I think, you know, customer service mostly sucks in this country, and I think it's because people don't pay attention to who they hire. You know, they want to hire the cheapest person they can hire.
But now that you've said that, that's why it's so much easier, because the expectations are so low right now, it doesn't take much to exceed them. So, you know, take advantage of the fact that as of now, and this is what's terrible, everybody talks about delivering the service. Unfortunately, not everybody is delivering the service that they claim they deliver.
Yeah.
There are great companies out there. And by the way, on any given day, a certain company can be awesome. I'm doing research for a new book right now, and we're looking at anywhere from 50 to 75 companies to use as case studies. And my concern is, the same as Tom Peters, who wrote a book back in the early 80s called In Search of Excellence, he put the most excellent companies at the time in that book, and today just a fraction of them are still in business. They obviously couldn't sustain the excellence. And that's any company. But the best companies do sustain it. The best companies stay there, and time after time they're successful.
Well, I think, Shep, you and I could talk just about all day about the customer experience, but we appreciate you joining us today on Power to the Small Business. Tell us a little bit about your book and where you can be found on the web.
Sure. The most recent book, Cult of the Customer, hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, as well as quite a few others. And you can find me at hyken.com. And if you want to learn about the book, The Cult of the Customer, you can go to the website, or if you go to the hyken.com site, there's a picture of the book. Just click on it. You'll get there, and there's a free newsletter which has articles that once a month I send just a basic article, sometimes more than once a month, but that's all it is. Not any blatant advertising. I'm not going to try and constantly sell you. You can get access to past articles on the website. It says read Shep's articles, and there's about 150 plus articles on there. You can download them, share them with your team, whatever you want. I want you to spread the word. I want you to go out there. I want everybody to deliver an amazing experience for the customers.
All right, Shep. Hey, we appreciate your time today on Power to the Small Business.
Thank you.
I will post all the show notes and links from this episode on the podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com. It's episode number 65 with Shep Hyken. Just got back last week from a couple of conferences up in Dallas, run simultaneously, Optimization Summit and Brainstorming. Brainstorming is a apartment management type conference, lots of multifamily management companies up there. Great time with the apartment industry and then all the folks, a lot of marketers also at Optimization Summit. Had fun with Eric Brown in our transformational branding session at Optimization Summit. We kind of shook the presentation model up there a little bit. It was fun. Hope those of you who went to it enjoyed yourselves. Got an interesting story, though, from my branding workshops over at the Brainstorming Conference, which is primarily for the multifamily or apartment management industry. I was doing my workshop. It was Friday morning, and a lot of the people were over in the social media sessions, but a few troopers were over in my branding session. And one of the ladies, I won't reveal her name or her company, was sitting there. She was quiet, diligently taking notes. During a break, I went up to her, asked her if she was getting some good out of the session, and she told me a story. She said, you know, we just paid a company $60,000 to brand our company. And after sitting in your session, I realized we have a brand that doesn't mean anything to the customer. And she said, you know, before I came to your session, I was happy with the brand. And I said, well, I'm sorry. And it's obvious also that I'm not charging enough money. But seriously, I felt sorry for her. And so if you're looking for a brand, let me save you almost $60,000. Give me a call, themarketingspot.com. Okay, that's enough shameless self-promotion. A couple weeks, I'll be at Blog World and New Media Expo in Las Vegas after a short vacation with my wife in the California wine country. Going to visit a few of my social media friends while we're up there too. When I get back in mid-October, I'll be speaking at the Texas Self-Storage Association Annual Conference up in Fort Worth. It will be a branding session, selling your soul, turning your entrepreneurial spirit into a powerful brand. Looking forward to that. Also in November, I'll be at the Writers League of Texas in Austin. So lots of good stuff coming up. But thanks for listening to this program. Remember, all the show notes and links will be posted at the podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com. That's where you can also subscribe in iTunes. The easy way to get the show, let it come to you. That way, you never miss an episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.